Ah, graduations. We've all been there. Ribbons, caps, gowns, tassels, sashes, flowers, and many, many hugs and tears.
Bienvenidos a la cuarta ceremonia de Building Bridges, Construyendo Puentes, de la Universidad Estatal de San Diego, Valle Imperial.
Students get to revel in their hard work, and parents see their sacrifice rewarded as their children walk proudly across the stage to receive that piece of paper saying that they have made it.
Yet, recently in the U.S., some families with members who lack legal immigration status,
or more commonly known as mixed status families,
have reported feeling anxious about attending public celebrations due to swirling rumors of possible immigration raids.
Even without precedent, that fear has left many families unwilling to attend public events.
But what if we told you there's a graduation ceremony where none of this will ever happen?
El profesor Gilberto Reyes y el doctor Efrén López de San Diego State Valle Imperial.
As you may have noticed, the celebration is in Spanish.
And that's because this particular U.S. ceremony you're hearing is taking place in Mexico.
We are at a graduation ceremony for San Diego State University's class of 2025, the four-year California university closest to the border.
Adrián Guzmán Herrera.
Since 2022, SDSU has held the graduation ceremony south of the border every year.
Families who are part of mixed-status households get to celebrate together and cherish this moment at a distance and out of reach from the current political climate north of the border.
This ceremony is specifically known as the Building Bridges Graduation, and is taking place in Mexicali, a small city south of the border of Calexico.
It's organized by the satellite campus leaders in Imperial Valley, where the idea first sparked.
And has ignited a trend that has spread to other institutions.
64 students from Southwestern College, with deep roots in Mexico, came to this Tijuana schoolyard to share their growth and heritage with family who, for political or personal reasons, could not cross the border to see them graduate.
For the Mexican mothers, fathers, abuelos, who sacrificed so much to give their children anything, this is everything.
If this is the first time you're tuning in, we are showcasing stories of visionaries and shapers of the borderlands.
Today's episode is all about tearing down walls and building bridges. From KPBS, this is Port of Entry,
where we tell cross-border stories that connect us.
I'm Alan Lilienthal.
And I'm Natalie Gonzalez. You're listening to Port of Entry.
A few days before the graduation ceremony, we made it to Mexicali, Baja California's capital, 2 hours east of Tijuana. The day was sweltering, at least by San Diego standards.
We were there to meet Carolina Flores, an SDSU student at the Imperial Valley Satellite Campus. She, like much of the Imperial Valley student population, crosses the border from Mexicali to Calexico for school.
At the front gate of her house, two menacing-looking dogs stood beside a four-year-old boy with light brown eyes and a smudged face. His eyes lit up at the sight of our producer Julio's equipment.
An older gentleman ushered Julio past the dogs. The child called for his grandma, Carolina's mother, telling her all about Julio's camera.
Hola, buenas. ¿Cómo estás? Mucho gusto. Bien, bien. Mi nombre es Julio Ortiz.
Once inside, the overly excited little boy grabbed Julio's back while the older man offered him some ice water.
Carolina's mother introduced herself. She had to remind Carolina's son, her grandson, to behave. He thought Julio gifted him the camera when he handed him the bag. Out from the back of the house came Carolina.
Hola, Carolina. Hola.
Carolina was set to graduate with a major in education, focused on high school level math. She was excited to take part in the Building Bridges graduation ceremony in Mexico.
To her, this experience was going to be profoundly meaningful.
Mi mamá dejó de cruzar desde la preparatoria. Yo ya estaba consciente que no iba a volver a ver otra graduación con ella a mi lado. Yo estaba consciente.
Carolina's mother does not have authorization to enter the U.S. The last time she did was when Carolina graduated high school. She did not renew her visa out of fear she would be barred from entering permanently due to a difficult decision she had to make when Carolina was only a child.
Tener un papá casi no nunca presente enalteció la presencia de mamá en todos los sentidos.
Carolina grew up with an absent father. She shared that he had been caught in a cycle of addiction for as long as she could remember, which meant there wasn't enough money on the table.
Her mom had to work twice as hard to make up the difference.
Y que gracias a Dios mi mamá estuvo ahí conmigo a pesar de que incluso fuera ilegal.
Even if it meant working and living in California's Imperial Valley without the proper authorization.
This went on for most of Carolina's younger years.
Her mother would come and go, splitting her time between Imperial Valley and Mexicali, working in local swap meets and selling candied fruit confections.
Any job that could help support the family. She kept a low profile to avoid authorities.
But that luck ran out once her visa expired in 2017.
Entonces, pues, estaba consciente de eso, consciente de que ella ya no iba a poder trabajar en Estados Unidos, por ejemplo.
Out of fear of being permanently barred, once her visa expired, she did not seek to renew it and stopped crossing altogether.
Without entering to the U.S., it meant Carolina's mother would no longer be able to provide for the family.
That reality stung.
Me he perdido de muchas situaciones muy importantes, ¿no? Como digamos la ceremonia anterior. Como otras situaciones que como mamá yo, pues obviamente quisiera estar con ella.
Not being able to cross the border hurt, but not as much as missing important life events, like Carolina's graduation from Imperial Valley College.
Pues el nacimiento de mi nieto, ¿no? Eso es algo que ha marcado completamente mi vida y mis emociones y todavía no lo puedo superar, yo creo.
And missing that event pales in comparison to missing the birth of Carolina's first son. Little Elian, the child who greeted Julio at the gate.
Y no sé si algún día yo lo voy a poder superar, que yo no pude estar en el momento que nació mi primer nieto.
On the verge of tears, she admitted it's something she still hasn't been able to get over. It weighs on her to this day.
Regretful about missing those momentous occasions, the chance to witness her firstborn graduate from college and celebrate the milestone together as a family lifted her spirits.
Extremadamente feliz, extremadamente contenta, muy agradecida con Dios principalmente, ¿no?
She says she's overwhelmed with happiness to be able to share this moment with her daughter.
And above all, is grateful to the organizers who made this possible.
Feliz. Feliz y agradecida con las personas que han hecho esto posible.
Last month, Julio went to Calexico to meet with the people behind this idea. It turns out the creator of this event is an old friend of Port of Entry, who we featured some years back.
Vanessa Falcón.
Now, Doctora Vanessa Falcón.
One of the movers and shakers inside this border laboratory is Vanessa Falcón Horta.
I am a PhD candidate here at San Diego State, joint with Claremont Graduate University.
Vanessa is also the founder of a transborder student group at SDSU. She lives in both San Diego and Tijuana. Sometimes she crosses the border multiple times a day, crisscrossing between San Diego, Tijuana, and Los Angeles. Back when we first talked to Vanessa, she was a graduate student at SDSU researching the transborder student population. During her research, a significant finding prompted her to do something bold.
It was a recurrent finding in the interviews that I was doing at the time for my thesis that was focused on transborder students, that students shared the painful experience of commencement, but not being able to celebrate with their loved ones.
In 2019, she pitched the idea to a university south of the border in Tijuana, where she was taking a course for her doctoral studies.
alongside my community, we began to organize a venue at Colegio de la Frontera Norte to implement the graduation. And we secured the venue.
The ceremony was originally planned for May 2020.
And it was a vision that was beginning to take shape and come into fruition, and then the pandemic happened.
Delayed but not defeated, 3 years later, she found fertile ground to plant her idea. This time as founding director of the newly formed Cross-Cultural Center for SDSU's Imperial Valley Satellite Campus in Calexico. As a newcomer to a new town, she met two colleagues who would later become friends and key partners in bringing this idea to life.
One was Mexicali native Gilberto Reyes, a history and Chicano studies professor who supported the idea from the start.
I thought about my students, who I know their life stories, because again, part of just becoming being the mentor, social talking to them, getting to know them, and I know some of them lived in Mexicali. And for reasons their parents couldn't cross.
The other was assistant professor of English and comparative literature, Efren Lopez.
When I heard the idea, I was stunned, because I remember, even though I grew up in LA, that graduation and commencement was bittersweet for a lot of students because their parents couldn't be there. And when she told me about this idea for a graduation that would be able to like have those families experience that together, I was just floored.
So it was on.
Putting together an event isn't really that remarkable. People do it all the time.
But organizing a cross-border graduation ceremony is a whole different beast.
Well, that's great. That sounds great, but are we actually going to be able to do it?
There was a bit of hesitancy from their colleagues.
Is there going to be funding? Are we going to have a venue? Is our you know, just all the kind of what ifs, you know?
No one had a clear roadmap.
Graduation was only a few months away. Vanessa met with her supervisor.
I shared it with the Dean of Student Affairs. He was supportive. He was very supportive.
And with his blessing came the most decisive element of the entire initiative.
The venue. Gilberto, being from Mexicali, had key connections on the Mexican side.
Omar Romero Godoy, at the time, in 2022, he was the director of Secretaría de Cultura de Baja California.
Gilberto and Vanessa met with Omar, and one Chinese lunch later,
he was the one who connected us to secure the venue with the Casa de la Cultura in Mexicali.
With La Casa de la Cultura as the venue for the ceremony, the event was officially set for May 14th, 2022.
Once the venue was down, once we were all on board, then people were like, okay, this is actually going to happen.
You're listening to Port of Entry. With the venue and date set, the finish line came into focus.
The next step was funding.
Once Gilberto and I secured the venue, then I reached out to leadership at SDSU.
Another meeting was held with SDSU president Adela de la Torre.
She provided the initial funds to support it, like the initial budget to make it happen. No questions asked.
The idea basically sold itself.
But with cross-border events, even simple logistics can quickly become complicated.
And so what happens here is that some cards that we had are not accepted in Mexico. So it was more difficult to do the payment wired or online because the system is different.
The team often had to withdraw cash, cross the border, and pay vendors directly in Mexicali.
And then there were the borderlines.
And the line is so long, so long. And we didn't even can see the end of it.
Sometimes the cross back to the U.S. became so brutal that they'd leave their cars parked in Mexico and cross on foot. Then they'd return the next day to pick up the car when traffic heading back was lighter.
Which happened to them on Mexican Mother's Day, just 4 days before the ceremony.
As commencement day approached, the pressure only intensified.
I remember working many times, 12-hour shifts to make this happen. Up until the day of commencement, I was working up until the last minute.
And more fires still needed to be put out.
when every student was going to walk, they're going to have an image with their major and I think a quote, right? And so I put that together, and I just remember how much of a headache it was, because students would be emailing me last minute saying, I want a different picture. No, I want this picture. Oh no, add this person. No, this quote's wrong. And then, so after I had everything alphabetized and everything said, I'm like, okay, good. And then boom, here comes an email. Oh, I want to change my picture. Oh, I forgot to put my cousin in the picture.
By then, everyone was exhausted, especially Vanessa.
So I felt the adrenaline, the anxiety, the cortisol, all of that. I felt all of that because I could not be in every single space.
Vanessa found herself being pulled in all directions to the point of almost having a meltdown.
Susana Lopez saved me.
Susana Lopez,
coordinator for student affairs and health services and a close colleague of the three organizers,
stepped in and freed Vanessa's hands from other aspects of the ceremony.
She came in and she said, all right, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to take care of that. You go to the rueda de prensas, and then you can go ahead and manage the platform party.
With Susana's help, Vanessa could focus on being the face of the event.
She came in and took on the lead to organize, to support with the signing in, with the catering, other components that are very important to the graduation as well.
Unfortunately, Susana passed away and isn't here today to see what the ceremony has grown into.
But she did have a significant role in launching that very first historic graduation celebration.
Despite all the hiccups, the ceremony was a resounding success.
The abundant joy and tears during those moments were a testament to its significance. And that was also the case the moment Carolina Flores walked the stage, 3 years later in the 2025 edition.
Carolina Flores.
Carolina's mother beamed as Carolina came down to hug her.
Carolina broke protocol. She started taking off her cap and gown while sharing some deeply moving words with her mother.
Carolina's mom couldn't hold back her tears.
Obviamente, este logro es para ti.
Este es un sueño sellado, este es un sueño culminado. Oh, pues esta.
Mom, this is for you because you are also graduating with me,
she said.
Es que yo sé que esto no hubiera sido posible por sin ti. Obviamente nunca.
All of this would not have been possible without you,
Carolina said as she dressed her mother in her cap and gown.
Que tú eres mi maestra, ma, tú eres la señora que me enseñó, okay? Tú me enseñaste a lograr terminar todo lo que me propongo y tú fuiste mi teacher.
You were my first teacher, the one who taught me that I can accomplish what I set my mind to give it my all and never give up.
Ofrecerle este premio es tuyo. Con todo mi amor, con todo mi corazón, porque también gracias a ti es que mi niño y yo estamos bien, entonces.
I want to offer you this prize,
Carolina said as she handed her diploma to her mother. At the platform party in the front reception, with a mariachi band blasting in the background, Carolina's mother shared her happiness, hugs, tears, and all.
Extremadamente feliz, contenta, satisfecha. Muy agradecida con Dios, con la vida y con mi hija por este regalo tan grande que me ha dado. Y también pues muy agradecida con las personas que hicieron esto posible. Que pueda estar en la graduación de mi hija.
She expressed her deep gratitude and happiness at being able to share this moment with Carolina.
Pues que estudió en Estados Unidos y le estén haciendo la ceremonia aquí, me siento muy bendecida, me siento muy contenta. Y pues agradecida, agradecida. La verdad es que no, es una emoción muy grande.
After family photos, Carolina approached Vanessa Falcón.
Muchas gracias por hacerme sentir vista, por darme su entendimiento, todo su apoyo y de verdad confiar en mí, en que voy a hacer las cosas.
Carolina thanked her for making her feel seen and supported and for believing in her.
La sabido defender también.
After a warm embrace between them, Vanessa thanked her and shared some thoughts in her native language.
Gracias a ti. Gracias a ti. Bueno, o sea, esto lo hacemos por los estudiantes y no puedo decir más, o sea, es lo que se debe hacer, ¿no? Construir los puentes por medio de la educación.
Vanessa said that education is the bridge that allows families to celebrate these milestones together, and that supporting Carolina and her peers is investing in the future of the border region.
Pues también tenemos que invertir en ustedes y mano a mano estamos invirtiendo en el futuro de esta región fronteriza. Así que gracias a ti. Gracias, gracias.
The impact of the ceremony was visible in every embrace shared between students and their families. And it wasn't only felt by families. The impact rippled across the border region.
Well, San Diego State University Imperial Valley did something no other university has done for its students with family on the other side of the border.
This time, these students crossed the border in the opposite direction, from San Diego, California to Tijuana, Mexico.
This graduation is designed to be similar to the Southwestern College graduation in Chula Vista last month. And crossing the border means crossing into a culture rich in its own pride.
News of the first ceremony spread quickly across airwaves and communities.
What is especially remarkable is that the event inspired other institutions in the border region to create similar ceremonies.
By 2023, Southwestern College, Imperial Valley Community College, and SDSU's main campus all commemorated their own versions.
Even high schools are now adopting the model.
The Sweetwater Union High School District will hold its own ceremony this year, bringing together all 14 high schools in South San Diego County for a celebration in Tijuana.
Each program is branded differently.
Transborder graduation, graduation without borders, binational graduation.
But the impact remains just as deeply meaningful at each school.
Since the first Building Bridges graduation in 2022, more than 1,000 students from mixed-status families have been able to celebrate together.
We got to speak to a couple of students at one of the Tijuana ceremonies this year.
My father, so he got deported in 2008, so this is a great opportunity for him to see his boys graduate.
Marcos Martin del Campo, a business major, shared this was the second time his father got to celebrate together with his family.
The same is true for Daniela Marquez, an international business major whose mother lost the authorization to cross into the U.S. 6 years ago.
La verdad, estamos muy agradecidos, ya que mi mamá, que es de las personas más importantes en mi vida, no puede cruzar la frontera. Nosotros ya nos habíamos hecho la idea de que ella no iba a poder asistir.
Daniela didn't know if the event was happening until a month ago. Her mother cried when they found out it was happening this year because she wasn't sure if she was going to miss it.
She's grateful that this took place.
Estamos muy felices. Ella lloró de felicidad porque ella, claro que quería ser parte de este momento tan importante para mí. Así que
these sorts of testimonies mean everything for Vanessa, Gilberto, and Efren.
I wanted to help these students celebrate with their families. I wanted them to live this special moment together. This is why I became an educator, to do things like this, to improve the lives of these students and my community.
Today, Vanessa and her team have handed over the coordination of the event to new organizers.
Their current objective is to ensure ongoing funding and maintain the program's momentum. At the same time, they're developing a playbook that others interested in implementing the initiative can follow.
They have established a long-term partnership with Bajas Universidad Autónoma de Baja California to continue hosting ceremonies.
Their work has left a lasting legacy in the region.
They have changed the lives of families who had long missed milestone moments and now can celebrate together.
This episode of Port of Entry was written and produced by Julio César Ortiz Franco.
Adrián Villalobos is technical producer and sound designer.
This episode was edited by Chrissy Nguyen and Elizabeth Hames.
Lisa Morissette is director of audio programming and operations.
Soy Alan Lilienthal.
Soy Natalie González.
Nos vemos pronto.